Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Hey, bless you today. Next Sunday, we're going to have All Out Healing Sunday. All Out Healing Sunday. That doesn't mean you got to wait till next week to be healed, but next week is going to be one remarkable, special day. We are going to see healing in hearts and lives. It's going to be awesome. Can you say awesome? That was really good. That was pretty good. Wow. All right, James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. If you're in Christ, if you're born again, you are now righteous by faith. You are the righteousness of Christ because you believe by faith in the finished work of the cross. Therefore, you are righteous. Therefore, this verse is talking about you. When you pray, when you interact with heaven, when you touch the heart of the Father, when you engage in His purposes, you are causing the power, the dynamic working power of God to be released in your life, in your world, in the lives of others. So E.M. Bounds, it's E.M. Bounds. My text kind of bounced a bit in the translation from one computer to the other. But E.M. Bounds said, "Prayer is our most formidable weapon, the thing which makes all else we do efficient." See, if you're not talking to God, if you're not interacting with Him, see, our faith has an object. It's God Almighty. It's the person of God, our Father Himself. It says, by the Spirit, through Jesus, we have access to the Father. And the Father wants to pour out abundant blessings. He wants to minister to you, in you, and through you. But we need to engage Him through prayer. Prayer is a living, breathing relationship with a mighty God. And so we need to be people that are praying. Because prayer, I mean, if you've got a situation that you want to see shift and it needs to change, you need to be engaging the heavenly realm in prayer. You need to realize you need to seek Him. You need to set your heart on Him. You need to be focused on Him. It says where Christ is, there are treasures there. Where He is, where He is, there are treasures. It doesn't say seek Him. It says seek those things which are above where He is seated. Seek the things. See, there's things in the heavenly realm that God wants to lose, that God wants to manifest, but it says, seek those things. Where are the things, Pastor? Where Christ is seated in the heavenly realm, seek those things. Call them into expression and manifestation. That would be awesome. How do I get there? You are there because you are seated with Him in heavenly places. So now look around. There's some good stuff around. There's heavenly favors. You are to be a dispenser of every good thing from the heavenly realm. Where do you get Big Macs? From McDonald's. Where do you get the power and the presence and the purpose of God? From a believer. You are a living, breathing, local franchise of the Holy Ghost and power. Settle down. I know that's exciting. All right, now look at this slide right here. Pay attention. Look at this. Here it comes. Right now. Bam. All right, do you see that? March 2013, the little circle is the three, All Out Healing. How many have a calendar? You have a calendar? I want you to circle it. I want you to go home today and I want you to circle it in red pen. Circle it, and then I want you to circle it over and over every day. I want you to circle it with prayer. While you're drawing circles around it, I want you to pray and say, on that day, every living, breathing person who walks into this place is going to be radically touched by the power of God. I don't know, but you, I was tugging on heaven in the front row today. I was pulling. I was going, oh, Cheryl singing that song that, you know, nothing can separate me from His love and His healing. It's in His hands and He's loosing it. I'm going, I was like, I go too much further. I'm just going to get whacked and be gone. It is such a wonderful thing to partner with heaven and tug on heaven. I mean, praise isn't like the little preview, a couple good songs, just a, hey, woo, couple songs. I mean, that's where we're partnering with heaven. We're engaging him. We're bringing the fullness of who he is in the room. And you know what? If we will pray this week, if you will circle that in prayer, if you will, every breathing moment, you'll be at work talking to people and they'll be going, they're talking in your head. You're da 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 ba sa da da ba ba da ba. I mean, all week long, we're going to circle this day in prayer. We're going to have some crazy things go on. You know, it was Wednesday night. I'm sitting here with Cheryl. We finished up the webcast. And by the way, if you're not doing anything Wednesday night, we do have a webcast going on here. People are watching, and we would like to have some people here. You'll have a lot of fun. It's great. You can ask questions and interact with us. But when we finished up, I said, Cheryl, we should have words of knowledge for the people out there in the webcast world. And I said, there's people on the couch out there right now need a word from God. And I was kind of somewhat just messing with her, you know. Going, come on, stir it up, honey. Throw me a word of knowledge. And then as I was asking that, immediately it came into, boom, it was like, poof, God spoke to me. He says, I'm touching kidney stones right now. And I was like, bam. So I said, wow. I mean, just really spontaneously and just bang, God has just said he's touching kidney stones right now. And I was looking at the webcam. I said, God's touching you right there. You got kidney stones. I mean, you touch your computer. You touch your TV. There's a point of contact. And then George went, I got kidney stones. And George was there. And I went, wow, that's right. I remember you said that. I said, look, when you get a word of knowledge, it's not information. Like God doesn't say, there's somebody with kidney stones. Just thought I'd let you know. A word of knowledge isn't information. A word of knowledge means that God wants to deal with it right now. You know, so Steve was sitting beside him. I said, Steve, whap a hand on him. Steve whapped a hand on him, an anointed hand. He went, ooh, da-da-da-ba-sanda, something like that. And I said, we just curse those kidney stones. We command them to go right now in Jesus' name. So then George came up to me after. He said, yeah, that's all good, Pastor. I guess that's cool, you know, and stuff. But, you know, you can get them blasted by the doctor this and that. I went, no, George, you can. They're healed. They're gone. They're done right now. And I said, you got to talk to Bobby. Bobby's over there because Bobby had a board meeting for his ministry, and I was at his house. How many years ago was that? About 4 years ago? But about 4 years ago, we're sitting in the board meeting, and I'm annoyed because Bobby's sitting there in the couch talking to us, and the whole time he's squirming. He's going, and I finally just walked over and said, oh, man, enough of this. I mean, this is just, and I just wham right on his belly. I curse them things. I command that pain to go right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Be gone in Jesus' name. We sat back down. And again, it was just one of those things. It wasn't like I felt like I feel God on me. I feel the healing anointing in the room. I was fed up with it. I see another brother in pain. I mean, there's no need for this. So curse the pain, commanded to go, get out, be gone in Jesus' name. And then Bobby, after we're about to leave, Bobby goes, you know what, I haven't any pain at all since you prayed for me. I said, praise Jesus. And then Bobby was supposed to go have him zap. And he said, I'm giving his testimony. He said, he told the doctor, he says, you know what, I got prayer. My pastor prayed for me. We were there in my house. And I haven't any pain since then. Can you check and see if they're still there before we go through this procedure? And so they went, well, they're not going to go anywhere. And Bobby said, well, let's get them looked at. Just check it out. They checked it out, gone. They said, you don't have any kidney stones. They said, well, maybe you passed them, or maybe that happened. Bobby goes, no, I would have known if I passed them. And I knew exactly when the pain left my body. So apparently I do have a crazy anointing for kidney stones. But, you know, it's not kidney stones. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's the healing power of God. It's whatever there is. It's got to go. I mean, I love these folks who were listening to our baptism CD. And these folks have been listening attentively. They get the CD. They listen to it, you know. And I love it. You know, pastor said, you go through the tank, you're delivered from stuff. So my smoking's gone. My back is healed. And I love this when you get people who come in and they hear the truth, know the truth. The truth will make you free. But I'll tell you, we're going to circle this coming Sunday. Because we're believing for all-out healing. But you know what? We got to bring some sick people. Got to bring some people who need Jesus. We want to fill this place with people. Because how many are going to pray? How many are not able to hear me from where you are? How many are going to pray? Holy moly. This many people praying every day, all this week. Go get a calendar. Circle it. Just circle that thing. Circle that thing. Circle that thing. We are going to see the power of God demonstrated in healing. You should get excited right now. In fact, I'm so excited about it right now. Stand on your feet. Let's say thank you, Jesus. Come on, stand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for healing. Thank you for touching lives. Thank you for the many, many lives and bodies that will never be the same. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are wonderful. You are glorious. We are so grateful. We just see lives touched. We see cancer gone. We see lives ministered to. We see diabetes gone. We speak to arthritis. We speak right now to back pain. Lord, we see people touched right now. Blood sugar, high blood pressure, we curse right now every work of the devil, and we loose the healing power of God. The balm of Gilead is here. The doctor's in the house. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Woo! Wow. No, because faith believes they get it. Faith believes they got it, and then they get it, right? So I tell you, you got to scream on the right side of your situation, right? I mean, they sing the song of Miriam. You know, they went through the Red Sea, and then she got out her tamarind. Woo! God delivered us. But, you know, on the other side, she's like, Moses, you're crazy. Get us out of this mess. You know what? Faith sings before you see the manifestation. Faith is like a bird singing to the sun coming up before there's even a shed of light. Faith declares it done. God makes it so. We speak to every mountain that would try to stand in the way. We speak to unbelief, fear, and doubt. Be gone in Jesus' name. So we're going to circle this with prayer. We're going to pray. You're praying. Man, how many are excited? How many excited already? Man, I'm telling you. Boy, phone a friend, get a neighbor, get a plane ticket for somebody. Do something because healing is going to be loosed. Oh, Pastor, you're putting yourself under a lot of pressure. No, I'm putting him under a lot of pressure. And he's good with that. I'm just going to do my part. Preach the gospel. And I will attend to it closely with signs and wonders. Yum, yum, yum. All right. I want to talk to you about in the book of Josephus. He's a Jewish historian. And also in the Mishnah, Jewish writings, there's a guy named Honi. And his name was called Honi the Circle Drawer. And this is one of the guys in Jewish legend and Jewish history. He was considered a hero of the Jewish faith. Now, this was about 100 years before the birth of Christ, and they were experiencing an incredible drought. And this is written about Honi. He says, once they said to Honi, the circle drawer, they said, pray that rain may fall. There was such a severe drought, they didn't even have water to drink. I mean, it was a very, very severe drought. So they said to Honi, the circle drawer, that pray that it may rain, because he had a big staff. They said he used to walk around with about a 7-foot staff, and they said that he would go, and he would go to a situation, and he would literally just stand with that staff and turn around once and stop right there. And he says, God, I'm not moving till this spot until you manifest your power. And I was like, man, the circle drawer. So I got out my calendar, and I drew circles around the third. And I've circled that day for a day of power. But here's what happened. He cried out, he says, pray that it will rain. And he answered, go out and bring in the Passover ovens made of clay that they not be softened. And he commanded them to do stuff. Act in faith right now that you believe the rain's going to come. Do some stuff that show that you believe when I pray God's going to move. I was like, I think it was Hudson Taylor. He was on his way to China, a missionary to China, and they came into a place of a real still calm, and they're floating closer and closer towards these islands full of cannibals. And they were kind of on the shore, sharpening. So they go down to Hudson Taylor and said, look, man, we need some wind. So you got to pray for some wind to pop up or things aren't looking good, okay, because we're getting close enough for them to paddle out here, and we need a shift right now. Something happens. So I mean, we understand you're a man of God, so you better start praying. He said, all right, I'm going to go pray, but put up all your sails. He went, well, what are we going to put the sails up for? He says, you want me to pray for wind, don't you? He said, I'm not praying for wind unless you put up the sails. So they put up the sails. He went down. He prayed for wind. It was done. You gotta express some faith. I'm glad we did that little shout here, aren't you? I'm glad we said, yes, Lord. I'm glad we declared some stuff. Amen. Putting our faith out there. Because he is a God who responds to faith. How do you overcome the world? By how? By your faith. Even your faith is how we overcome the world. But here's what happened. He prayed, but the rain did not fall. What do we do? So he drew a circle, and he stood within it, and he said before God, O Lord of the world, your children have turned their faces to me, for I am like a son of the house before you. I swear by your great name that I will not stir from here until you have pity on your children. And the rain began to fall, drop by drop, And he said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill the cisterns, pits, and caverns. It began to rain with violence. They said the rain began to drop, and the drops were as big as eggs. It was like a penetrating rain. Literally, the people all ran for cover, took off. Many went to the Temple Mount because they thought, surely we're going to experience a ridiculous flood. And it began to rain with violence. And he said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of goodwill, blessing, and graciousness. And then it rained in moderation until the Israelites had to go up from the mountain to the Temple Mount because of the rain. They went to him and said, just as you prayed for the rain, it has come. So pray that it may go away. And he replied, go and see if the stone of the stairs has disappeared. And then after that, there was the leader of the synagogue, Simeon ben Setah, sent him and said, had it not been you, Honi, I would have pronounced a ban against you. He says, I would have kicked you out of the synagogue. I would have kicked you out of, I guess for them would be their church, you know, their organization. He would have got the boots. I would have kicked you out because it was reported that he prayed with such violence. He prayed with such importunity. He just got in the face of God. And they're like, you don't talk to God like that. But this guy, God, he drew a circle and he said, you better move. I am swearing by your name right now. You've got to do something. And the people were amazed by how he prayed. And it says, had you not been Honi, he said, I would have pronounced a ban against you. But what shall I do to you? You importune, you who are importunate with God, he performs at your will. Like a son that importunes his father, he performs his will. Of you, the scripture says, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her that bore you rejoice. Well, that's why I'm saying, let's draw a circle around this thing. And I mean, draw it with that kind of violence. Draw it with that kind of passion. You know, God is not offended when you come boldly. In fact, God only hears you when you come boldly. Because he said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive. So God doesn't like these whimpery little prayers. Oh, God, I wish you would do something. I mean, if it's your will, if you're up there, if you care, I mean, you'd think you'd do something. No, God likes you to, on authority of his word, use your authority, come up there to the throne of grace, come boldly and say, let's change the situation now. God's not offended by that. In fact, your God likes those kind of approaches. In fact, he has commanded you to come that way. So stop being disobedient, stop whimpering and whining, and let's get violent. For the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And it's not because he's reluctant. It's not because we got to overcome, you know, something in him. He just loves it when you have that kind of faith that you'll just run at it with like, whoa, let's tear this sucker down. And so we want to see people touch. We want to see people. How many know we're in the middle of a revival right now? I'm telling you that God's moving by his spirit right now. Things have never been so easy as they are right now to see people touched and ministered to. It is never so easy. You know that 80% of people surveyed said if you'd invite them to church, they'd go. In fact, most people wonder why believers don't invite them. If church is so exciting, it means that so much to you. Why don't you ask me to join you? You know, it's a really good Sunday to say, hey, come on to church. You're going to see the hand of God move and God do some incredible things. All right, Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. This was when Jesus was ministering up in the area of Capernaum. And this was kind of like his home base where he hung out a lot. And he was over at Peter's mother-in-law's place. And many believe this is why Peter denied Christ, because Jesus here healed his mother-in-law. So that was just a joke. Just kidding. All right. Some of you weren't even listening. Okay. But here they are. They're Jesus walks in. Peter's mother-in-law is not well. He walks in, heals her, and then says, could you make us some slop now? Could you get some food together for us? Thanks very much. Pretty amazing. If you're going to make mom work for, you know, you better heal her up, get her filled up, get her touched, and all that stuff. So Jesus walks into Peter's mother-in-law's place, whaps a whammy on her, gets her all healed up and set free. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases, they brought them to him. The sun's going down. Everybody heard, Jesus is here. Jesus is at Peter's mother-in-law's place. He just healed her. He's there just chilling in the backyard, but he's close by. Get everybody who's sick. Get everybody with a disease. Get everybody who's afflicted in any way. Bring them on down to Peter's mother-in-law's house. Because Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. So they brought down all those folks that were sick to him, and he laid hands on them, and one or two of them lost their kidney stones. Hallelujah. He laid hands on everyone. Say everyone. 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 He laid hands on every one of them, and they were healed. Come on, that's good right there. Don't you wish Jesus was here? Man, if Jesus was here, we could call our friends and say, come, because Jesus always heals everyone who comes. No one who comes to him gets turned away. Everyone who comes to Jesus everywhere through the Gospels, they always get healed. Don't you wish Jesus was here? Luke 17, 18 to 22, John the Baptist sent his disciples. He sent them over there and said, you know, go check and see if he's the guy. This is one of the saddest passages in the New Testament. Because here's John the Baptist, who is the forerunner, anointed to announce and declare, this is the Christ. Now that's like somebody who's walking in the house and introducing to you, you know, this is your new financial planner. This person has breakthrough knowledge. They're going to bring you a new revelation of financial advances. You will never be the same after you meet him. Then halfway through the interview, he stops. Everybody goes, are you really a financial planner? Like, can you really change these people? I mean, the person who introduced them, if you had the person who introduced the person to you as wonderful, questioning whether they got any skills, we got a problem. But here's John the Baptist who's announcing that this is the one, this is the Messiah, this is the Son of God. Later on in his ministry, he's going like, go find out if he's the guy. Why? Why would he do that? Why? Because he didn't like his style of ministry. I came out in the wilderness eating locust and honey, screaming at the Pharisees, preaching, you know, hellfire and brimstone. And then Jesus comes around. He's hanging out with sinners, partying with, you know, partying with the tax collectors. I mean, who is this dude? I mean, is this really the guy? Hey, there's going to be a wild revelation of God's grace and his goodness that's going to hit this last day church. And a lot of the religious folk are going to go, hey, 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 God's not that good. Come on. Hey, 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 he's not that accepting. Hey, 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 he's not really a friend of sinners. It's going to be so saturated with grace, you're going to see religious people run because they can't handle it, because they're so bound themselves, living in their own hiding, living in their own self-condemnation, they're too scared to be free themselves. But there's going to be a revelation of freedom that's going to be so mighty on the church, it's going to attract so many people because of his kindness. Many were led to repentance. Thank you, Jesus. John the Baptist said, are you the one? And then he said to these guys, he said, all right, you want to know? Listen, go tell John what you have seen and heard. Say, seen and heard. A lot of cheap churches you go to, all you get to do is hear. You get to hear about what Jesus did. Most churches, the only really good stories about somebody being healed are read from the Bible. We had several really good stories of healing here today. And not healing that 5 years ago, we had a move of God. People got healed. People are getting healed every week. And it's going to accelerate. We're going to have baptismal services every week. It's going to be awesome, ridiculous, good stuff. Really? Really? All right, so here's what he says. He says, look, what do you see in here? He says, what? The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel of good news preached to them. What's the good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. Acts chapter 10, 38. Peter is preaching now. Jesus is ascended. Peter's out preaching. He's preaching to the first group of Gentiles. Peter's literally in his head going, what am I doing here? Why am I talking to these people? This good news is only for the Jews. Why am I at this Gentile house? My God. But he's talking about Jesus. And while he's talking about Jesus, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost interrupts the service and bam, it says that the Holy Ghost fell on their necks. Literally, when Cheryl preached on the way the father fell on the neck of the prodigal son, ran out, greeted him, fell on top of him. That's the same word that was used for the Holy Ghost fell on them. The first Gentiles to come in, the Holy Ghost couldn't wait till Peter finished the sermon. Couldn't even wait for the altar call. He said, oh, Peter, you're so long-winded, my God. He went, bam, interrupted the service, and Peter and all the Jews went, my God. The fire of God has fallen on these people just like it did on us. Then they knew, wow, God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. And the Holy Ghost fell in power. But here was in his sermon, he said, I want to tell you about how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Very important. Actually, sorry, I put Christ in there. Huge mistake. Sorry. I want to tell you how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And he wanted to say Jesus of Nazareth, not the Christ. He's talking to Gentile folks, and he didn't say the Christ, but Jesus. He anointed. The word Christ is in the anointing aspect. He Christed. He in-Christed. He poured the anointing. He saturated Jesus. Because he's talking, there's a man in Nazareth, his name was Jesus. He was so whacked with the Holy Ghost and power by God that he went about doing good. That word doing good means that he was a benefactor. Look up the word benefactor. The word benefactor means he was going around giving people money. So doing good, properly translated, is he was going around giving people money. So Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost and power. He went around giving people money and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, Jesus did what he did. Jesus, the man born in Nazareth, did everything that he did. He did it by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good and healing all. Say healing all. Don't you wish Jesus was here? John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says to the disciples, he says, most assuredly, not even assuredly, not even most, but most assuredly, Jesus esteems you better than himself. Jesus believes in you. Jesus expects that you are going to go further than him. If Jesus was one of your co-workers and you were having a sales competition, he'd say, you're going to blow me out of the water. If Jesus was a plumber and he had a plumbing business and so did you, he said, your plumbing business is going to blow mine away. Jesus is saying, I have come, I have manifest the anointing, I have manifest my Father's business, but you know what? I tell you most assuredly that you are going to operate in the anointing in a greater way than I ever did. Settle down. I know that's exciting. It's the absolute truth. He esteems you. He is up there literally going, you are going to blow me away. You are going to do greater things. He said, you will, and the person who believes, any believers here, said, he who believes, it says that he will do also greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. Now tell me, did he go to the Father? Then should you be doing greater works? Da 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 da. Ba, 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 ba. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. I didn't write the book, I'm just reading from it. It's really good. They were all healed. Now, who was this? This was the church. This was after Jesus ascended. This was most assuredly, you're going to do greater works than I did. And we're going to do greater works than he did, but also it's going to be greater because now it's no longer localized in a person. It is now dispersed through the whole body of Christ. Well, Pastor, we're so excited that next week when people come, glory to God, the anointing is going to be on you. When you pray, they're going to be healed. Glory to God, Pastor. You're an awesome guy. Hallelujah. No, it's not the anointing on me. It's on us, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The smeared, saturated body of Christ, whose head is Jesus and his body is us. And through us, he is now manifesting greater works. You know, it's the believer's anointing. It's not the pastor's anointing. It's the believer's anointing to do the greater works, to do the works of Christ, to manifest the goodness of God. It is the believer's anointing to do that. Are any believers here today? You are loaded. You are packing. Just kind of look at that hand right there and go, You can pray for yourself. In fact, you don't have to wait for the end of the sermon. You can say, be healed right now. Be healed in Jesus. Bam. That was good. Now I got to get healed from my head. Just give myself a slap. Everybody was healed. All right, let's go to the book of Mark. Now get your Bibles, go to the book of Mark. We're going to wrap it up with this text right here. Say, thank you, Pastor. Bobby says, come on, Pastor. We got the Daytona 500 on this afternoon. Danica Patrick on the front row. First time a lady pole position at NASCAR. And how many know that's a sign and a wonder? Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Pastor, you're so bad. You are bad. You bad. Mark chapter 2. Come on, everybody there say, I. And again, he entered Capernaum. Again, he entered Capernaum. And after some days, it was heard that he was in the house. How do you think they heard that he was in the house? Because people were saying he was in the house. Exactly. It's not a trick question. How did they know he was in the house? Everybody went around going, Jesus is in the house. Say that with me. Jesus is in the house. Let's go say that about 500 times this week to people. And say, and you're invited, and I will pick you up, and I'll even cook you a roast beef dinner after. Can I get a witness? All right. Jesus in the house. Say, immediately. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. Good, good, good. Immediately. You know what? If we actually start being who we're called to be, how many know this building's way too small? If we literally all agree that what I'm telling you is the truth and start to walk in it, how many know the Budweiser Center is going to be changed to the Glory Center? Sponsored now by Impact Church. And I'll still let Bono come and play because I think he's pretty cool. So, even near the door, there was no room, and he preached the word. The word. The word. Imagine the living word preaching the word. And what was he preaching, Pastor? He was preaching the writings of Paul. No, he wasn't teaching the writings of Paul. Why? Because Paul hadn't written them yet. He's preaching the law. He was teaching from the law. He was showing that he is all over the law. He was showing that here I am everywhere in the book. Here I am. It all talks about me. It all points to me. You can't do any of this on your own. You need me. And he showed them in the law that I am the fulfillment of this word. And so he was preaching the word. The word was preaching the word. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Then they came. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they went upstairs on the roof of Peter's house. Peter, the guy who, when they came to arrest Jesus, pulled out his sword and took off a couple of ears. So Peter's sitting there right beside Jesus going, I'm cool. I know Jesus. It's my house. I got Jesus in my house. Pretty awesome. I mean, who? Hey, give it up for me. Who's awesome? Who's awesome? I'm awesome. What the heck's going on up there? What are these idiots doing on my roof? What is going on? Hey, Jack, what's going on? Man, what are you doing? Jesus, settle down, Peter. Just keeps preaching away. And, you know, suddenly the roof's opening up. There's a hole. Oh, man, that's that. You fixing that, I'm telling you. You mess with that, you fix that, I'm going to kill you. I tell you, you're going to need Jesus to resurrect you 3 or 4 times. I'm going to kill you. Boom, over. You dogs, I can't believe it. These guys tore up the roof. They tore up the roof, and they made a hole in it. And then there it was. They broke through, and they let him down on a bed, the paralytic. Now, here's Jesus preaching. He's preaching away, and all of a sudden, suddenly, this paralytic on a cot just, how many think that's awesome? I mean, Smith Wigglesworth, he'd be preaching. He's on the platform preaching. He'd be preaching
The Holy Ghost on fire is here. The Holy Ghost is going to come. He's going to heal you. He's going to deliver you. And a lady came up and laid her baby on the platform. And he walked over and poof, punted the baby off the platform. And by the time mom caught the baby, totally healed. While he was preaching, they brought stretchers in, and they brought somebody in with stomach cancer, and he walked over, and he's preaching away, and he went, punched the person right in the stomach, went back. People went, ah, the person hit the stomach, ah, but then the person totally healed. I'm not punching anybody or kicking any babies next week. I'm not encouraging you to do that. But, I mean, how amazing is this? I mean, these are people. The anointing is flowing so incredibly that people are running in the middle. They're interrupting the preacher, bringing people who need a touch. These people didn't just interrupt the preacher. I mean, they were trying to get in the house, trying to find a way, trying to find the back door, the front door. There's too many people we can't get through. On the roof! Woo! And we're going to find a way to get these people to Jesus. All right, so when they got them through the roof, the paralytical was dropped down. And when Jesus saw their faith. Now, I used to think that it was the faith of the four. But it doesn't say the four's faith. It says he saw their faith. I think the paralytic was also going, pretty cool, eh? This is my idea. I got four friends. Said, hey, get me in there somehow. Let's get her done. And when Jesus saw their faith. Did you know faith is substantial? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Saw it. He saw faith. And when he saw their faith, look what he said. When he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, you are healed, jump up, grab your mat, run around, I heal you now in Jesus' name. No, that's not what he said. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. I was kind of hoping that I could get some legs. Son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes sitting there reasoned in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy? Why does he speak like this? Who can forgive sins but God? And immediately Jesus was able to perceive in his spirit that they reasoned thus with themselves. And he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or arise and take up your bed and walk? Listen. How many believe that you can lead somebody in a prayer of salvation, you can introduce them to God, they can accept Jesus as their Savior, and they'll be born again, totally delivered from their sin? How many believe that will happen, and it happens every time? Well, Jesus is saying, how easy that is? It's just as easy to say to a sick person, a paralytic, even somebody who cannot walk, get up and walk. It's just as easy. It is exactly the same thing. And the fact that we as the church have made healing sickness harder than salvation, than just being born again. Well, being born again is easy, Pastor. And after all, Pastor, isn't being born again the greater miracle after all? Well, it is a pretty awesome miracle, but Jesus wants the whole package, because Jesus didn't come just to get you into heaven. He came to get heaven into earth, which means heaven is going to invade every aspect of your life, body, soul, and spirit. Well, you know, they were sick, but now they're in heaven, so they're good now. Well, let's all go to heaven good. As my days are, so my strength will be. I love it. It says in Job, it says, I will go to the grave in full vigor. How are you going to go to the grave? I guess I'll get taken out by some disease or affliction. I don't know. Something will get on me. In my family, people have died of heart attacks. People have died of this affliction. So I don't know which one will take me. But how about God takes you and you are a specimen of incredible health? I don't got faith for that, Pastor. Well, then you don't believe your Bible. Oh, we're really stretching it now. You're blowing my mind a little here. I mean, being born again, getting a little happy, get set free of a couple things, I'm good with that. But walking in divine health, I mean, easy, Jack. I mean, come on. No, you know, all that other stuff that you already got because you believe the word, there's more. And it's all yes and amen in Christ. How? By believing, not by doing. And how do you give it away then, Pastor? Well, remember in Acts chapter 3 at the gate beautiful? Why at the gate beautiful? Because that gate is locked up. That gate will never be open until Jesus comes back and unlocks it. But the prophecy on Isaiah 35 says he'll come to the gate beautiful. It says the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. To fulfill that prophecy, Peter at that gate healed the blind man. or the lame man that day at the Gate Beautiful, because he was saying prophetically, this is done. Finished. But then when Peter healed him, how did he do it? He said, hey, don't come over here and look at me like it was my power or my holiness. Well, Benny Hinn heals because he's holy. Benny Hinn heals because, like, he spends 24/7 in a cloud. Just like, that's why he didn't, his suits weren't white before, but they were all black suits, but he goes into the glory and they all turn white. He's not really wearing white suits. He stands in the glory. Man, won't you wish Benny Hinn was here? Man, we'd have some healings, wouldn't we? God bless Benny Hinn. I love Benny Hinn. I've been prayed for by Benny Hinn. I've been whacked, cleared out a couple of lawn chairs by Benny Hinn. But Jesus is here. Christ in you is the hope of realizing the glory. We got drunk too much on the evangelist, the special preacher, the special guy. You're the special guy. You are the hero in your own story. You're writing a book right now, and you are a legend in your own mind. Thank you, Pastor. Where was I? Not by my holiness and not by my power. So Peter said, I didn't qualify to do this. He qualified me, and all I did was I used the authority that I have in the name of Jesus. Bam. All right. There you go. Oh, let's keep reading, Pastor. Come on. Okay, where was I? Anybody remember? Oh, thank you very much. So he said, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, arise and take your bed. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. It's so cool how he tied these together. Because in the atonement, in the finished work of the cross, freedom from sin and freedom from sickness are tied together. They're totally linked. It's the same blood that forgives you. It's the same blood that totally heals you. But you can know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went into in the presence of all of them, so that all were amazed. Look up that word amazed. That word amazed literally means they were out of their minds. They literally went, wah! They were out of their minds, and they glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Listen now. Here's what's really cool. In medical history, if they help people, you've seen people that have been paralyzed or had injuries or things, when they help them recover the ability to walk and they help them, generally the muscles have been atrophied and there's incredible difficulty there. They don't know how to walk. They don't know what to do. You have to understand that generally, even if there was a healing and some type of restoration, it would take months before this person could walk, let alone pick up the bed that they came in and run out with it. I mean, how absolutely incredible was this to have somebody, you know, totally paralyzed, laying on a mat, suddenly sit up, not just sit up, not kind of creep around, start walking around, but literally take the bed they came in and went, woohoo! Yum, yum, that's some good stuff right there, yeah! Now, next week, they're starting that mini-series called The Bible. It's going to be on Sunday nights. I hope you're going to watch it. Invite some people over. We might even show it here on a big screen and have popcorn. And, you know, bring some friends in, and I hope they show this story, don't you? I'm looking forward to seeing on the big screen the Red Sea parting and all that stuff. Woo! But you got to, when I read the Bible, I get right into it. I mean, I look at every single word, and then I think about what kind of person would that be? What kind of miracle? What did that look like? Are you kidding? These are amazing things. And Jesus did that. Jesus did that. Jesus did that. But you know what Jesus said? Greater things than these shall you do because I've gone to the Father. You're awesome. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're pretty awesome. You are pretty awesome. I tell you, you are pretty awesome. All right, quickly, three observations. Then we're going to pray for you. You're just going to fly through these. We've pretty much made the observations already. But number one, the determination of the four. They united in purpose. The two of them joined together. Four men carried them, and then they were united in faith. He saw their faith. So we want to unite in purpose. We want to unite in faith. We're having this meeting on purpose. We're going to pray about this meeting on purpose. We're going to, it's like we're picking up the corner of the mat. We're picking something up. I want you to literally, like you are picking up a bed, like you are going to carry this week a purpose of God, that you are going to take personal responsibility for what God is going to do in this place next week, and you're going to carry it all week long, and you're going to come expecting. So they were determined to see something happen, and they did it in faith. So whatever your revelation of faith is, I want you to stir it up, get whacked out. I want you to get your believer on 10 and just believe God's going to do ridiculous stuff. I got a hand clap back there. I got a pitter-patter there. I got a nod of the head there. I got a smile over there. I got a quizzical, what the heck? Amen. Number two, going really fast. Number two, the difficulties they faced. I mean, they faced, it demanded some effort when they had broken through, when they had broken through. So it demands effort, but I love the fact that when they couldn't get in the meeting, they didn't say, well, hopefully when he gets out, we'll be able to get him to lay hands on him. You know, it's like we have meetings, there's healings going on, you get people at the back, and they just sit back there, and then after the meeting's over, they come up and try to get the evangelist. Excuse me, are you tired and want to get out of here? Well, if you don't mind if I annoy you right now, I wouldn't come forward earlier for healing, but I'm wondering now if you, I mean, demand some effort. I mean, these guys are like, you know, we're not waiting until later when he's going to be off the Swiss Chalet for a piece of chicken. We're going to get the touch right now. Come on, folks, we need it now. We want to get it now. There's people need a touch of God now. And you know what? Sometimes you can't use the door and you got to get creative. So you know what? If you got somebody and you ask them, would you come? You know, you're going to get prayer. We're going to minister on healing in our church, and we're expecting everybody to get healed. Yeah, no. Okay, then. Get creative. Would you come if I picked you up? Yeah, no. Would you come if I bought you a Tim Hortons on the way? Would you come if I got Starbucks? $5. Would you come if I got you Starbucks before and a Danish and I bought you lunch after? Would you go to the beach with me tomorrow? And on the way, we're going to church. Would you let me blindfold you and trust me that I will take you somewhere and it will help you? Yeah, maybe. How many are planning on getting creative this week? Yeah, no, Pastor. I'm actually hoping everybody else is going to invite people. How many have no intention of inviting a single soul? I see that hand. Thank you. I got nothing good to give away, Pastor. If God has been so good to you, you know, every time people had a touch of God, you know what they did? They ran away to tell people. That's what they did. You got to run away and tell people. So there's difficulty. It's going to demand some creativity. Get creative then. I just want Jesus to come back and get me out of my mess. I don't care about all them people. Jesus, get me out of here quick. It's getting ugly. Number three, got really quiet there, didn't it? Just, did it get really quiet for you? Okay, number three. My thing went all funky, all right? Deliverance, they found sins forgiven, made right with God, sickness healed. So completely healed that he carried his bed. So completely touched that they saw a miracle that caused them to go out of their minds. All right, one more slide. Look at this one. All right, how many know what that is? Well, it's right underneath it. It's a cheetah. Say cheetah. A cheetah can run. It's gifted and can run 70 miles per hour. It can only sustain that speed for very brief periods because it has a small heart. Some of you are like cheetahs in the spirit. You'll run out of here and you'll be all full of zeal for about 4 steps into the parking lot. I was believing, Pastor. I tell you, I knew I was going to do something big until I got to the car. And I'm really tired. How big is your heart for lost people who need a touch from God? How big is your heart right now to touch people, to minister to people? Got to have a big heart. Who says, Lord, help me increase my capacity to love people, increase my capacity to believe that you want me to be like you? Problem is, we read these stories and we keep on putting ourselves in the story like, well, I'm the paralytic, I need help. No, you're not, you're Jesus. Well, in the story, I'm the crowd, I'm the one sitting listening to the word. No, you're not, you're Jesus. So you keep on reading the history of Jesus and realize that the history of Jesus was written so that you could see the history of you. The history of Jesus wasn't a little story that you go, wasn't Jesus awesome? No, Jesus was your example. Jesus was your mentor to show you what you could do. And then when he was done, he said, now, you see all the stuff I did? You're going to do even bigger stuff. Your business is going to be bigger than mine. You're going to have more clients. You're going to blow me away. All Out Healing Sunday is coming up. One more verse and we're going to finish. Are you ready? If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn there. I want you to go look at it. I'm going to go to the book of Romans. My favorite book. I love this book. Book of Romans. Right after the book of Acts. Book of Romans. Chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. Are you ready? Fantastic chapter. First chapter I memorized was Romans 6. Second chapter I memorized was Romans 8. Two fantastic chapters. You want to memorize two chapters, those are the best right there. Romans chapter 6. You ready? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from your heart the form of doctrine, my doctrine, the teaching, the presentation of the gospel, you obeyed the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, that sin is not a verb, that sin is a noun. Having been set free from missing the mark, having been set free from falling short, having been set free from sickness, having been set free from poverty, having been set free from every single manifestation, penalty, and power of sin. Having been set free. When were you set free? Being set free when you believed. Having been set free from sin, you became now a slave to righteousness. You now are a slave to the righteousness of God in every aspect of your life. You are bound up. You are just condemned to a life of righteousness. Body, soul, spirit, every single aspect of your life. He says, I speak to you in human terms and I have presented them to you because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness, now, he says, present your members as a slave to righteousness for holiness. It's a finished work of Christ. It's done. You are free from sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and every manifestation of sin. You are totally set free, and you are now a slave to righteousness, body, soul, and spirit.